This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله رحمة للعالمين وقدوة للمؤمنين ومحجة للسالكين وحجة للعباد أجمعين أنار الله به العقول وشرح به الصدور وفتح به أعينا عميا وآذانا صما وقلوبا غلفا فاللهم اجزه خير ما جزيت نبيا عن أمته ورسولا عن دعوته ورسالته وصل اللهم وزد وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وعلى جميع من استنى بسنته واقتفى بأثره إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى فإنه من يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب. All praise is due to Allah alone. In Him we seek aid and assistance, and to Him we turn both in repentance and for forgiveness. Truly, He whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can mislead. And He whom Allah leaves to go astray, there is none who can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship save Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is both His servant and His messenger. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in an authentic hadith, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِيُتَمِّمْ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. He said that indeed I was only sent to perfect character. to perfect the moral standard of character. And so our Prophet ﷺ was sent to encourage us to assume the characteristics that are good for us and to warn us of behavior that undermines proper and excellent character. And when someone has a lack of good character, they in fact harm themselves primarily. The main victim of their lack of character is themselves. When we lie, even though our lies might hurt other people, even if we succeed in our lies, we feel internally like we are hypocrites, and it destroys us from within. If a person is stealing from others, even if they are successful, quote unquote, in stealing from others, they themselves will feel constant fear that someone else is going to steal from them. When we develop evil character, when we exude bad character, not only are we harming others, not only are we harming society, but we're actually harming our own selves. And today's topic revolves around this concept. The more we engage in this, the more pain it actually brings ourselves. The more we do it, the more we feel mistrust, the more we feel paranoid, the more we feel filled with hatred. This character that I'm going to speak about is the character of having bad assumptions about other people. Always having evil assumptions about people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He says, يَا أَيُّوَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اِجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّيَثِ He says, O believers, avoid much of suspicions and assumptions. For indeed, some assumptions are sinful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, اجتنبوا, avoid all, doesn't tell us, sorry, to avoid all assumptions, but most assumptions. اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. Avoid most of assumptions that you would make. And the scholars say, Allah does not tell us, avoid every assumption or every suspicion, because some suspicions are legitimate to hold. Like what? They say there is a dhann al-qat'i, even though this phrase is a bit strange, it seems like an oxymoron, but to have an assumption that is definitive. Meaning what? I know for a fact this person is angry at me. And I see the anger on their face. And I see them holding a gun pointed towards me. Can I assume he has bad intentions? He's going to harm me? Yes, I can make that assumption. Because there's definitive factors involved. If he's holding his fist and he's coming towards me, can I say he's going to hit me? Yes, I can. Because there's definitive factors involved. But most assumptions are not based on definitive factors. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن. He said, avoid most of assumptions. Because most assumptions we make in our lives are not definitive at all. For instance, you might have a debate with someone. And it becomes a heated exchange. And they say something that sounds like it could be an insult. But it's not clear, it's vague. Maybe they say something to you like, you know, brother, you really are different. What does it mean that I'm different? Are they insulting me? Or are they just making an actual observation? I have a different way of thinking through things. This is what the scholars call غَلَبَةِ الظَّنِ. It's not definitive, but overwhelmingly, he probably is insulting me, given the context, but it's not definitive. Even this, the scholars say, should be avoided. And then there are assumptions we make based off of circumstance alone. So for instance, you know, you didn't invite me to your wedding. So I assume you didn't invite me on purpose. Maybe you just forgot. Maybe it had nothing to do with, you know, anything other than that. You just forgot to invite me. And so this is a form of suspicion based on circumstance, but there's no evidence involved. There's nothing definitive at all. And the final type the scholars talk about, الظن الوهمي, the imaginary assumptions. And this is a lot of the prejudices and assumptions that exist. Where there is no obvious intention or motive, and we read into it still. You see a brother, he's driving a really nice car. He must be stealing. He must be selling drugs. On what basis did you make this assumption? There is no definitive basis. You just jump to an assumption. You see a sister not wearing hijab. Oh, she must be immoral. She must be like this. Her character must be like this. How do you know this? You just made this assumption. You see a brother with a beard, he must be an extremist. How did you come to this definition? How did you come to this assumption that you've made? These are pure prejudices and assumptions, right? And so having negative assumptions or being suspicious of others is to constantly delve into the intentions of other people. And this is a disease of the heart. And usually this disease exists because we have our own evil intentions. And so we project our own evil intentions onto other people. So the person who would naturally backbite and naturally has a propensity to backbiting immediately assumes that other people are also backbiting about you. If you would steal from other people, you would automatically assume that other people are trying to steal from you. This is why Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he said, "Ash-sharir la yadhunnu bi ahad khayra." He said, the one who is evil never assumes good about anyone else. He says, لِأَنَّهُ لَا يَرَى إِلَّا بِطَبْعَ نَفْسِهِ. He says, because this person can only see through the prism of their own nature. Their own nature is to do evil, and so they always think other people are up to evil because that's their own nature, and they're only looking through this prism of evaluating other people through their own inclinations. Al-Mutanabbi, a great poet, he said, إِذَا سَاءَ فَعْلُ الْمَرْءِ سَاءَتْ ظُنُونُ. He said, when a person's deeds are evil, so too are his assumptions. And it's like a person who is, you know, sitting, looking outside their window, and they see their neighbors hanging their laundry. You know, people who are like in apartments, and especially back home, they hang their laundry outside. They don't do it so much in our country, but in other countries they do. And so he looks outside and he says, look at these people, are hanging their laundry. Their laundry's dirty. What kind of people are they? They didn't even wash their laundry properly. They're hanging it to dry. And every day he tells his wife this, look at our neighbors, how foolish they are. They didn't even wash their clothes properly. They're hanging it to dry and it's dirty. And in reality, and finally his wife comes and wipes the window and says, no, it's not what they're hanging, it's the window. The window's dirty. And that's why you think what they're hanging is dirty, but it's really your window. And this is exactly kind of the example of this, is that we look to other people, we think what they're doing is bad, but it has nothing to do with them, it has to do with the window from what we're looking through. And it's our window, ourself, our nafs, our heart that requires cleaning. This is why the Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic hadith, he said, إِذَا سَمَعْتُ الرَّجُلْ يَقُولْ هَلَكَ النَّاسِ فَهُوَ أَهْلَكُهُمْ. He said, if you hear a man saying the people are ruined, the people are this, the people are the worst. فَهُوَ أَهْلَكُهُمْ. He is the worst amongst them. He is the most ruined amongst them. Right? The sign of being someone who always holds negative suspicions about others is that we're trying to, you know, ascribe evil intentions to every deed that we see. There's an action that we see, and we could give it a charitable interpretation, but instead we're trying to give it the worst possible interpretation and motives. The Prophet ﷺ said once, يَا مَعْشَرْ مَنْ أَسْلَمَ بِلِسَانِهِ وَلَمْ يَفْضِ الْإِيمَانُ إِلَىٰ قَلْبِهِ. He said, O people who have iman has come upon your tongues, but has not yet reached your hearts. O people whose iman is on your tongue, but not in your heart. What did he tell them? لا تتبعوا المسلمين لا تغتابوا المسلمين ولا تتبعوا عوراتهم فإنه من اتبع عوراتهم يتبع الله عوراته ومن يتبع الله عوراته يفضحه في بيته. He said, whoever, the Prophet ﷺ says, do not backbite about the Muslims and do not follow their faults. For whoever seeks the fault of his brother, Allah will seek out his fault. And whoever has his fault sought out by Allah, Allah will disgrace him even if he hides in the depth of his home. What are the faults of the Muslim? The Prophet ﷺ says, don't follow the faults of the Muslims. What are the faults of the Muslims? Their sins. What does the Prophet mean, don't follow the fault of the Muslim? It means don't talk about it. Don't discuss it. Don't be interested in their sins. Don't ascribe intentions to it. Don't assume the motives behind it. And the power of this hadith is the Prophet ﷺ begins the hadith by saying what? يَا مَعْشَرَ مَنْ أَسْلَمَ بِلِسَانِهِ. O people who Islam, you have accepted Islam with your tongues, وَلَمْ يَفْضِ الْإِيمَانُ إِلَىٰ قَلْبِهِ. But faith hasn't entered your heart. And the Prophet ﷺ, by saying this, he's indicating to us that when your heart is full of evil assumptions of others, it's full of backbiting about others, it's full of following the sins of others, it is an indication that true iman, true faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not yet settled inside the heart. And if Allah seeks your fault, He will expose you, and no one can hide, you know, no one can hide your sins if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposes your sins. And this is why the scholars, they say, whenever you see your brother doing something, try to find a charitable interpretation. To the point that some of them said, if you hear your brother saying, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى, I am your Lord, the Most High, say he must be reciting the verse. He's not saying that about himself, he's just reciting the verse. He said, if you see your brother and his beard is dripping with alcohol, say that someone must have thrown it in his face. Someone must have spilled it on him. He wasn't drinking. Find a way to interpret it positively. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said, لَا تَظُنُّ بِكَلِمَةٍ خَرَجَتْ مِنْ أَخِيكِ الْمُؤْمِنِ شَرًّا وَإِنْ تَجِدُ لَهَا فِي الْخَيْرِ مُحْمَلًا. He said, never assume that a word that your brother has spoken is evil, while there exists the possibility of it being good. I.e., don't think anything he says is wrong, is evil, while there exists the possibility that you can interpret it positively. Too often we do the opposite. Somebody says something that probably, you know, very clearly was, or overwhelmingly likely was meant to be a good thing, but we try to twist it and churn it and reinterpret it and apply motives to it, but they really intended this. They really meant to do this, or meant to say this. And subhanAllah, how often are we sure of our own intentions? Like right now, I'm giving a khutbah. I would like to think that I'm doing this only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm not doing it for the sake of anyone else, and I'm not doing it for the sake of showing off. I would like to think this. Am I 110% sure that that's the case? Sometimes even in our own hearts, we can't be 100% sure that there's no feeling of showing off that's entering our hearts. So if I'm not, and if you're not 100% sure of your own intentions sometimes, how can you be sure of someone else's intentions? How do we judge the intentions of others? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, we mentioned in the ayah in the beginning, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ. O you who believe, avoid most assumptions. Avoid much of assumptions. He tells you, اجْتَنِبُوا. Now, اجْتَنِبُوا means avoid, get away from. It's a very strong term of get away and avoid this thing. Allah used اجْتِنَاب or اجْتَنِبُوا in a few different places in the Qur'an. One is when He talks about shirk. وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. The dua of Prophet Ibrahim. O Allah, اجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِي, make me and my children abandon the worship of the idols. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاجْتَنِبُوا الرِّجْسَ مِنَ الْأَوْثَانِ وَاجْتَنِبُوا قَوْلَ الزُّورِ. Allah says, اجْتَنِبُوا, you know, avoid the filth of idolatry and avoid the evil speech, meaning the speech of worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when it comes to shirk, Allah says, اجْتَنِبُوا, avoid. Where else does Allah say اجْتَنِبُوا? When He talks about alcohol and gambling. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَلْزَامُ رِجْسٌ مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah says, O you who believe, intoxicants, gambling, and issues of also shirk as well, or related to it, are the acts of shaitan, so avoid it. فَاجْتَنِبُوا, avoid it. So this language of اجتناب is used for these things. What connects them all? Why is Allah telling us in each of these circumstances, اجتنبوا, get away from these things? Why these things and these things alone? And the scholars comment on this. Allah tells you when it comes to shirk, worshipping other than Allah, اجتنبوا, stay away from this, avoid this. Why? What does shirk do? Shirk destroys your tawheed. It destroys your belief in Allah alone, your worship of Allah alone. It destroys your monotheism, right? So shirk destroys your monotheism. What does alcohol do? Alcohol, intoxicants, drugs, they destroy your mental faculties. What does gambling do? Gambling destroys your wealth, your money. Finally, Allah tells you, ijtanibu, avoid assumptions you make of people. What does assumptions do? It destroys brotherhood. It destroys relationships that we have with each other. It destroys the cohesion of a community, of a society. If everybody is assuming the worst of each other, the society divides and falls apart and breaks apart. And so each of these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you, ijtanibu, stay away from these things. These are all things that have dangerous, corrosive, destructive qualities. It can destroy your tawheed, it can destroy your money, it can destroy your mental faculties, it can destroy your society and the bonds between people. And the Prophet ﷺ said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَظَّنْ Beware of assumptions. Beware of assumptions. فَإِنَّ الظَّنْ أَكْثَبُ الْحَدِيثِ For indeed, assumptions is the most false of speech. It is the most lying of speech. And then the Prophet says, وَلَا تَحَسَّسُوا وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا وَلَا تَحَاسَدُوا وَلَا تَبَادَرُوا وَلَا تَبَاغَضُوا وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا Then the Prophet ﷺ says, don't spy on each other, don't contend with each other, don't envy each other, don't hate each other, don't turn away from each other, rather be the servants of Allah and brothers. Now, the beginning of this hadith mentions a number of sins, the sins of seeking each other's faults, the sins of spying on each other, the sins on competing negatively with each other, of envying each other, of hating each other, all these different sins. But the Prophet begins with what? وَإِيَّاكَ وَظَّنْ Avoid assumptions, for indeed assumptions is the most lying of speech. It is the most false of speech. And all these other sins come from our evil assumptions. Why does someone seek the faults of someone else? Because you assumed something bad about them to begin with. Why does someone spy on someone else? Because they assume something bad about them to begin with. Why do we compete negatively with each other? Why do we hate each other? Why do we envy each other? All of this began with having evil assumptions about each other. These are socially destructive behaviors. They destroy society. They destroy relationships. They destroy brotherhood and sisterhood. They destroy communities. It destroys masjids. It destroys the ummah. And it starts, all that envy and hatred, starts with what? Having negative assumptions about each other. And the Prophet tells you, وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا Instead, be the servants of Allah and brothers to each other. Avoid all the negative assumptions and instead be servants of Allah and brothers to one another. And this is something incredibly important for us to think and for us to contemplate. Look at the example of Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu. Usama ibn Zayd is fighting on the battlefield. And the person he's fighting, the sword in their hands, falls out of their hand. And Usama is standing over him now in a position of dominance. The man said to Usama, La ilaha illallah. But Usama looks at the situation that he's in. Number one, we're on the battlefield. This is the circumstance of the battlefield. Number two, he didn't say the shahada until he dropped his sword, until he dropped his weapon. Only after he dropped it, he said the shahada. Number three, if Usama was the one who dropped his weapon, he would have killed him. It is fair to assume the other man would have killed him if it was Usama who dropped the weapon. So Usama does not accept this, and he kills the man. And he goes back to the Prophet ﷺ, and he tells him this is what happened. The Prophet said to him, قَالَ أَقَتَلْتَهُ بَعْدَمَا قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Did you kill him after he said, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Usama said to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, he didn't mean it. He said it, yes, but he didn't mean it. He just said it because he dropped his sword. Prophet said to him again, أَقَتَلْتَهُ بَعْدَمَا قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Did you kill him after he said, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ Again, Usama said to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, he didn't mean it. He only said it because of the situation. And the Prophet ﷺ said to him, فماذا تصنع بلا إله إلا الله إذا جاءت يوم القيامة. He said, what are you going to do with La ilaha illallah if it comes on the day of judgment? What are you going to do with La ilaha illallah when it arrives on the day of judgment? You don't know for sure that his La ilaha illallah was not truthful. And if he's a man who said La ilaha illallah and comes on the day of judgment because of your evil assumptions, you harmed him. What are you going to do with La ilaha illallah on the day of judgment? Now, how many people in our lives have said La ilaha illallah? And unlike Usama, we know with certainty they said La ilaha illallah. And yet, with our evil assumptions, we destroy them. We expose them. We talk about them in a certain way. We try to create controversy in a certain way to discuss. And so what the Prophet said to Usama, we should think about to ourselves, what are you going to do with La ilaha illallah if it comes on the day of judgment? What are you going to do when another Muslim comes on the day of judgment and he says, I said La ilaha illallah and my brother in Islam did this to me. And my brother in Islam said this about me. And my brother in Islam had these evil assumptions which led him to harm me in this way and in that way. What are you going to do with La ilaha illallah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. He said, do not pursue that which you don't have knowledge of. إِنَّ السَّمَعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادِ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. For indeed the hearing and the sight and the heart, all of these things will be questioned. All of our faculties are going to be questioned. And we're going to be questioned about the things that we did and we acted upon without having certain knowledge. So Allah tells you, don't act and don't pursue things that you don't have knowledge of. And the intentions and the motives of other people certainly fall into this. فَأَقُولُوا قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لَكُمْ اسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. The scholars talk about evil assumptions as being from madakhil al-shaytan, from being the entry points of shaytan, how shaytan influences us. And the reason is because it's actually very easy to assume many different things out of a single statement or a single instance. Even in the English language, they tell you, you can do this exercise where if you say a phrase like, I didn't say she stole my money. And depending on the word that you emphasize, the meaning changes completely. So for instance, if you say, I didn't say she stole my money, the implication is someone else said it, because I emphasized the word I. If I say, I didn't say she stole my money, meaning I didn't say it. If I say, I didn't say she stole my money, meaning I didn't say it, maybe I implied it, but I didn't say it. Every word that you emphasize gives you a completely different meaning. A single phrase, you can interpret it 100 different ways. And so shaitan works off of our lack of knowledge. We don't know, so shaitan whispers to us the worst possible intentions. And the Prophet ﷺ once was in the masjid, and he stepped outside to speak to one of his wives. And so he was outside speaking to his wife, and some of the Muslims were walking. They see the Prophet standing with a woman. And they continue to walk a little bit faster. The Prophet ﷺ runs after them. And he tells them, that is Safiya. And he had just married Safiya. So she just newly married. So he thought, the Prophet ﷺ thought, maybe they didn't know he married Safiya. They don't know who Safiya is. And they might assume something. So the Prophet said, this is Safiya, my wife. They said, Subhanallah ya Rasulullah. We were never going to think anything bad about you. We know you're the Messenger of Allah. We're not going to assume anything about you. And the Prophet ﷺ said, نَعْمْ وَلَكِنْ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانِ يَجْرِي فِي الْإِنسَانِ مَجْرِيَ الدَّمِ. He said, but rather shaitan runs through the children of Adam like blood runs through their veins. وَإِنِّي خَشِيتُ أَنْ يَقْذِفُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمَا شَيْئًا. And I was afraid that shaitan will put something inside of your heart. The Prophet ﷺ went out of his way to help stop them from assuming anything negative and to only assume what's good. But subhanAllah, look at how they saw the Prophet and still they were going to assume good. Right? They saw the Prophet with Safiya. Still, they said, you know, we're going to assume good. SubhanAllah, how are we going to assume anything bad about you? And the Prophet still understands that even when people see something, they could assume something negative. I mean, think about this. We don't even see things and we assume negative things. We just hear from someone else. You hear from someone who heard from someone, so now you assume something negative. But you never saw it with your eyes. The Prophet ﷺ sees the Sahaba seeing him with his eyes. He goes and he clarifies to ensure that they have the proper intentions and that they have the proper understanding of what has taken place. And look at the Prophet ﷺ when a young man was brought to the masjid because he had drunk alcohol. And they beat him for doing so. And as they were hitting him, now this young man had drank alcohol many times. Many times they found him drunk and they brought him to the masjid. Time after time after time. And here when they were punishing him, one person screams out or says out loud, Allahumma la'anhu ma aktharu ma yu'ta bih. He said, oh Allah, curse this man. How often do they bring him? And how often has he committed this haram and they bring him to punish him? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, la tal'anhu. Don't curse him. Don't curse him. Fa wallahi ma 'alimtu illa annahu yuhibbu Allah wa rasul. He said, for indeed what I know is that this man loves Allah and His Messenger. Even though the Prophet knows 100% this young man committed haram. There's no question that he committed haram. The Prophet refuses to assume this means he's an evil person. There's still a possibility that exists that he loves Allah and His Messenger. Right? And this is something really important for us. Even if we were to see something haram, see somebody do something haram, okay, they did something haram. Does that mean we should jump now to the conclusion that this is an evil person, everything about them is haram and evil and they're going to hellfire? Which is something a lot of people do. No, we don't have to jump to that assumption. The Prophet resists that. He says, don't curse him. Rather, all I know that he loves Allah and His Messenger. And this is why Imam al-Ghazali says, فَكَمَا يَجِبُ عَلَيْكَ السُّكُوتُ بِلِسَانِكَ. Just like it is wajib upon you to be quiet with your tongue when you see the evils of your brother, the faults of your brother. كَذَلِكَ يَجِبُ عَلَيْكَ السُّكُوتُ بِقَلْبِكَ. Likewise, it is imperative for you to be quiet with your hearts. Right? وَذَلَكَ بِتَرْكِ إِسَاءَةِ الظَّنِّ بِهِ. And this is with avoiding evil assumptions about them. So just like if you saw the sins of your brother, are you allowed to, if I see a brother making a sin, you know, sinning, can I go around telling everybody this person did something haram? They say, no, you can't do this. You can't spread the sins of your brothers, right? So he said, just like it is wajib for your tongue to be silent at the sin of your brother, it is wajib for your heart to be silent by not assuming the worst of those around you. And likewise, when people were spreading the false lies about our mother Aisha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا وَقَالُوا هَذَا إِفْكٌ مُبِينٌ. Allah says, when you heard these rumors, why didn't the believing men and women think good of themselves and say this is an obvious lie? So Allah is reprimanding the believers. Why didn't you immediately consider this a lie? But what's interesting about this verse is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you heard it, why didn't the believing men and women ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا. Why didn't they think good about themselves? Allah does not say, why didn't they think good about Aisha? No, He doesn't say that. He says, why didn't they think good بِأَنفُسِهِمْ, about themselves? And it's an interesting phrase here. Aisha is being referred to as yourself in this verse. Why? The scholars say, because your brother in Islam, your sister in Islam, is you. You should see them as yourself. So if you're going to spread something negative about them, if you're going to harm them, you're actually harming yourself. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, فَسَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. When he ordered us to give salam to our brothers and sisters in Islam, he didn't say, go say salam to them. He said, say salam to yourself. Because when you say salam to your brother, you're really saying salam to yourself. You're really spreading salam to yourself. And this principle of seeing your brother and sister in Islam as though they are you is something that we have to strive for. And if we strive for it, then inshallah it will cause us to turn away from any type of harming each other with our assumptions and our thoughts and our negativity, and instead to always think good of one another. إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا محمد. اللهم صل على محمد ما ذكره الذاكرون الأبرار. وصلي عليه ربنا صلاة دائمين إلى يوم الدين, وعلى آله وأصحابه الطيبين الطاهرين, وعلى أمهات المؤمنين, وعلينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. اللهم لا تدع لنا في مقامنا هذا ذنبا إلا غفرته, ولا همّا إلا فرجته, ولا دينا إلا قضيته, ولا مريضا إلا شفيته, ولا مبتلا إلا عافيته, ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا قضيتها وسرتها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين, وعلي بفضلك كلمة الحق والدين. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا, وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان, واجعلنا من الراشدين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم, ولذكر الله أكبر, والله يعلم ما تصنعون. عبد الله بن الصلاة.